You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, when you talk giants, right, we talk tech giants, you already some names start coming to mind. You're thinking your Facebook, your Googles, your Amazons, your Tencents, and companies like them. They are often described as dataopolies, right? They control a key platform, which, like a coral reef, attracts its ecosystem and attracts its ecosystem users, sellers, advertisers, even talking about software developers, apps, and accessory makers. But is it okay for a few firms to possess so much data and thereby wield so much power just in their few circles right there? So that's a conversation we're going to be having this evening. Tech companies and their monopoly, like we said, they are dataopolies. And we're going to be having that discussion with Mr. Enoch Chayerera to guide us from an expert perspective to join us in this discussion as well. Good evening to you, Mr. Chayerera, and welcome to the Business Sense.
Good evening. Hi.
And how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
No, doing all right. Thank you so much. Trusting that you had a good day. The Tuesday went off. The week has kicked off to a good start. All is well.
So far, so good. Not too much to complain about.
Oh, so far, so good. Nothing to complain about.
Yes.
No, that is right. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us this evening as we take a look on our Tech Tuesday. And these data companies, I think a lot of people sometimes, especially the more conservative guys, feel like, you know what, these guys are just way too big. And we want to have a look at if it's beneficial or is actually just detrimental for the end user. Thank you so much for guiding us and joining us to guide us in this discussion.
That's fine. Thank you for hosting me.
Wonderful stuff, wonderful stuff. Now, maybe let's start with a basic question. Should we be concerned about those so-called dataopolies, or are any concerns simply much ado about nothing? I mean, we're just trying to feel like, conglomerates, they shouldn't have too much power, or there is really something we should be worried about?
I think there is something that we should really be worried about.
Mm-hmm.
But then, on the other hand, there's really nothing much that we can do about it.
You're saying, nothing we can do about it. We should worry, but we can't do much.
Yes. Let me explain.
Okay.
So we're looking at an organization like Facebook. And right. Because there's a lot of things that are going on Facebook. We're talking about it has incorporated something like Facebook Market. There's lots of selling that's happening on Facebook, lots of advertising. And you really don't know what they are doing in the background with that, your data, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you will have to, but you have no other way. It's how you want to make a life. You have to sell your stuff on Facebook, Amazon. Yes. Even a platform like WhatsApp, where you don't know in the background what's happening to your data and your personal information.
Mm.
You're just trusting on the fact that they've told you that your messages are encrypted, and you trust that they have the laws that are governing them.
They would respect them.
It would be also in their interest to find some loopholes on the laws that are governing them, so that they also make best use of your data.
Certainly.
To make profits. You get it?
I hear you. And I think it sounds a bit defeatist, right, to say it's dangerous, but unfortunately we can't do anything about it. And Johan just says, hey, okay, what then is the point of all of it? And maybe as we go further, perhaps we'll pick up exactly what those challenges are and what we can perhaps then do to try and minimize, at least in our corner somewhere. What are some of those risks? Maybe let's spell it out and just look at the concerns that these techs would bring if they have the power that they currently are having.
Let's take, for example, what happened between Google and Huawei over the squabbles between China and USA. So Huawei lost the access to the Google Play Store.
Yeah.
And Google has a monopoly, or had a monopoly, to that Play Store, where every Android user needed to have that. Get it? So even to the competitors, it actually then causes, I'm sure Huawei did experience a lot of losses.
True.
Over. Even I know, even myself, at that time I was using Huawei. When I wanted to upgrade, I then lost interest in the fact that there was no Play Store. And you know, it would be difficult to share apps with other Android phones.
True.
So it's like now Huawei is using a different operating system from the other Androids. Get it? So I'm thinking that is another risk, where all of us are trusting in that one service provider. What happens then when they decide to cut off their services? It means all of us were going to have a blackout.
But I'm thinking, isn't that what actually sometimes attracts people? I mean, you look at the team with that Apple, you know, that's what they actually pride themselves in. We are the only ones with access to this platform, and we don't share any apps and whatnot and whatnot. And true, like you're saying, it feels like, and especially to the Android user, the traditional Android user, they are turned off by that limitation, quote unquote. But to the, at least they feel they are more a keen and a bit more finer paletted user, you would feel like, no, this is actually much better for us, you know. And isn't that the same thing? Because, I mean, like you're saying there, you gave the example of Huawei and Android, which is basically Google. They had the rift, and of course they drew away, they battled, but remember, they're not too bothered. They've got a market of over 1 billion people plus, right? So they can, they felt the pinch, but they're coming back already. And obviously with innovation, they're already taking back a bit of that market share. At the end of the day, that loss, is it something that will, I'm trying to find the risk. Is it more for the data user, which is you and I, the average Joe on the ground, or is it for the conglomerate itself, the big tech company, that they would lose if they let these other companies chow so much of the market share in terms of what they're doing and what they're offering the services?
I think for the conglomerate, there is the bigger impact. And I think on the general user, it's more on the convenience part. Especially if you are not on the tech service side, it means you have to start afresh on learning something new. But then I like that you mentioned the part of innovation, where it led to Huawei innovating and coming up with something new. So you see, when Google was having the Play Store, it was by their standards, by their innovation standards, and whatever, however they were offering their kind of service and all, we were not concerned about that. So, but then the moment Huawei is cut off from the thing, they innovate around it. They are becoming a proper another service provider,
true,
another option,
true,
for that. So we're seeing that it's providing a platform for innovation. So there is risk of lacking innovation when we rely on a single service provider.
That is true. That is true. You know, we've got a comment coming through here on our WhatsApp line. By the way, you can get in touch with us and add your voice, your questions to the conversation. I'm currently in chat with Enoch Chayerera, who is talking to us about the very important question of dataopolies, right? That's a tech company's monopoly. And we're trying to find out if it's beneficial or actually detrimental. So talk to us, +27 73 470 3520. Just gone 21 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock. The comment is speaking to encryption. You were mentioning issues of encryption area and how we then trust that the tech company is going to be keeping up to their word that our data is encrypted and they're not going to be accessing it. And actually, when WhatsApp came out and spoke about certain changes in their privacy stuff and whatnot, a lot of people migrated from WhatsApp, right, and were worried and, oh, they're going to start reading our data. Oh, they're going to be doing this and that. And the comment that came through on the WhatsApp line is, at that time, when you're speaking about your data is encrypted, half of the people who are worried don't even know what encryption is all about, right? And then here you are wondering to say, the move, is it really informed? And the worry that we possess about the tech companies having this monopoly on certain data, is it informed, or is it really sentimental, right? Because that move, a majority of people are talking about, now we're going to go to, what is the competitor? Telegram, you know, maybe because Telegram, it's also smaller, therefore they want to support small business. And I'm thinking, is the issue more on security in terms of getting our data handled by these dataopolies? Is the issue concerning the issue of security, or just that you don't want to support the big boys who kind of squeeze out the little guy out of the market?
I think at the moment it's more sentimental, where we're just reacting because we have heard of things like it's only maybe the upper quartile, which is tech savvy and stuff, who will be really concerned about that, right? But then I'm thinking, we are moving as a world. I think even the COVID pandemic, it really frustrated our appreciation, or maybe our concern on technology, such that I think in a few years to come, I think most of the people who will be using these technological components will be aware and will. So it means that at this point, maybe a background of raising concerns, a background of highlighting, lifting the red flags over the practices that are maybe concerning, I think that it's the right time to do it now. Although for the majority of it, it's quite sentimental.
True.
Yes.
You know, because I think about it to say, at that time, you know, I was wondering to say, people are concerned about their data being stolen. But what is it that you actually possess? You know, it's like finding, you know, you live in an empty room and you're worried, they're going to break into my room, guys. They're going to take what?
What does the US government, what type of information do they need from you, you and know, the likes?
You know?
Yeah.
I was just thinking, yeah, that's something else there. Is there room, when you look at it, though, is there room for new companies to enter the market, or basically when they enter, they'll be swallowed up? I mean, I was looking up earlier on that we were talking about Android, right, and how Google who is the owner of Play Store. Once Huawei and Google fought, they then just not only cut off Play Store, they had to move away from the whole Android OS because Google owns that, and Google just bought that recently. Okay, maybe not so recent, about almost 20 years ago now. To say, those were separate companies. I mean, you talk about the big companies. Now they call themselves what, Meta? It used to just be Facebook. Then they said, no, we're going to go and purchase. I think they got Instagram. Now they got WhatsApp. And then they continue to add and buying out everybody else who is out there. Here we have Google, who now went and bought out Android. They went and bought out YouTube and so forth. And you find that they go out and buy these small companies. Is there room for the small guy, or he just risk being swallowed up into whatever innovative idea that comes out? Will be swallowed up by the bigger guy at the end of the day, because they don't want competition, if you will?
I'm also thinking, and also would like to give an example of the context where I'm currently in Zimbabwe, where
Okay.
if you look at the mobile service providers, we have three big ones: Econet, NetOne, and Telecel, right? So I
Okay.
think you look at it this way: Econet is, I think, the biggest among the three, followed by NetOne, and then lastly Telecel.
Okay.
And
Okay.
of which, the in terms of mobile service, I'm realizing there's really no space for anyone else, and I think they would also face a lot of challenges in terms of infrastructure and the likes, because I think these they really need a lot of capital. So the investment that one would need to establish such, and also considering the competition, it would be a quite an uphill task. So maybe in other offerings like
Okay.
internet service, yeah, they are there, but really growing, it will take a lot of time. And in a market where people are yearning for options, you know, these tech giants, what they do, they will become so consuming, such that they charge or they do whatever they want, knowing that you don't have an option but to just go for whatever they have offered, right? So I think in markets where people are yearning for options, whatever smaller provider, when they come in with something that's looking lucrative to the general person, I think there is a chance for them to survive, although the competition is quite stiff. I think for an organization, it would really take time, and also it would take a lot of work to convince and to prove that they are a viable option.
True, true.
Yeah.
Because I'm just thinking as well, you know, as you mentioned that, to say, there should therefore be some disadvantages to that being the case, you know, and one thing that just came to mind was the fact that if they're going to be innovative ideas that come out from smaller manufacturers, from smaller companies, tech companies, and they get quickly swallowed up. Perhaps it was an idea that would be so innovative, it would challenge the status quo and maybe topple the current way of doing things. And if the tech company sees that this small guy is going to be able to be some form of competition or destabilization and disrupt the market, then all they need to do is just stomp them out and burden them with heavy, you know, pushback, right? And that's it.
They actually have these big tech companies. They would actually be having influence on policy making, you
True,
know.
true.
So they would actually be there to make it difficult for others to break through into the market.
Have we had maybe any instances perhaps that you can be able to share with the listener to say where these kinds of things have happened, where some smaller guy wanted to come out and the big guys were like, nope. You know what, and they faced pushback, and Pepe had to now go to media or wherever to try and complain and scream out about how they've been unfairly treated.
I think not really. Maybe I would highlight on the issue of the that guy. I think on that guy who introduced the please call.
Oh, yes.
That story. That guy, I think he brought in some big innovation which would have made a name for him in the mobile market, you know.
Yeah.
But then the fact that they had no, like, the power and the likes, they then were manipulated. And I think that's how the big guys would work out to see, to identify. I think they would also work to offer you, maybe they would come and you see you are struggling.
Certainly.
And then they would make a big offer for you that you can't deny. Of which you, on your side, you are uncertain whether this is going to be a success or not, right? So you think in short term, let me just have this, the big junk, and go, rather than working on and sustaining whatever is there, which you are uncertain of
the loss outcome. Or the win at the end of the day, right? And I think that's the challenge that comes out, because most of the big guys, even if they know that they're going to lose or it's a lost case and they're really in the wrong, all they do is they pump money into it and they drag out the case and they know you're going to dry out sooner or later.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Mr. Nkosana Makate, who is the creator of the Please Call, like you're saying, had some deep pockets and maybe support as well from other people who could assist him keep on the fight.
Yes.
One of the concerns has been less innovation in the markets dominated by these companies, that perhaps because they are so big, they feel there is no need to really change anything. They already have the big chunk of the market share, and so they can just keep it as is, and they get, maybe one would want to use the word complacent. I'm not sure if that's right. Can you really talk to us a bit about that?
I think like I highlighted earlier on the context of Zimbabwe, where there is Econet and NetOne
and Telecel. Is Telecel still existing? I've got a comment here coming through from one of them. That company is still alive.
They are, but I think very few people are still using that.
Using the platform,
of course.
Okay.
I'm just speaking off head. Mm-hmm. Without the exact figures, right?
Yeah.
But then I'm thinking, in as much as these service providers would want to innovate, they are innovating within maybe a certain context where they know you guys have no option. You only have them in the context. So really, it's a take it or leave it thing.
Yeah.
So whether you complain or not, and the creativity is limited. They actually use their relative advantage to see what products or services are becoming more popular.
But when you see that, though, I mean, let's talk a bit about that. You mentioned, let's take the casing point you're bringing across, the Zimbabwe telecommunications market with the three giants you mentioned. Has that been the case that you've seen complacency, or they then still, to some level or degree, still try to keep things competitive? Not really competitive for in terms of they know that they've got competition, but in terms of trying to update and upgrade and bring in new services and whatnot for their users, based on not just what's happening in their immediate environment in Zimbabwe, but perhaps looking at other trends making headlines worldwide. Do you see that being the case where, you know, something will be introduced in the international market, but it will take forever because telecom communications in Zimbabwe will say, you know what, if we don't bring it, who's going to do what? It's not like suddenly someone from outside is going to suddenly jump in, or a small company will come up and say, hey, something came up in America or came up in England or came up wherever. Let's introduce it here locally. Is that been the experience, or they still kind of try to keep up with the trends and what's happening in the market culturally?
I think if you compare it with maybe let's say South Africa, where there is loads and loads of service providers, maybe on the aspect of internet service provision, I'm looking at the policy making, where recently there was an issue over the allowing of Starlink to be used.
Yes.
You see, the thing of pushing away
newcomers, yeah,
competitors, yes. And I've seen quite a lot of people complain about the service, but then it's a thing of, it is what it is. We're giving you this. Of course, any business, for them to stay in the market, in the competition, in there is exposure now where people can access services from outside of Zimbabwe and the likes. So they definitely have to continue to keep up and work towards keeping up with other standards internationally, right?
Okay.
I think it's a thing of the environment forcing maybe rather than a thing of initiative.
Okay. Yeah, it's a challenge. It's a challenge, and I hope that perhaps we can see. I don't know what the change, and I think I'm brought back to your initial sentiments, right? To say there is some detrimental effects to it, but unfortunately, there isn't much we can do. Because I'm thinking, is there no silver lining with this cloud? You know, what are there any benefits at all that we can speak on? Where, because these guys are so big and they offer almost everything that is needed on the market, therefore you benefit from the size. I mean, I'm thinking, is not meaning perhaps all the services are a bit more professional. You get top stuff, top quality in terms of the graphics and whatnot. Looking at the tech companies like you were mentioning, Facebook and them, is there no benefit at all by having these large dataopolies?
On the benefit side, maybe we can say it's easier for on the government side for regulation. Because there's maybe a few companies to be targeted and to be involved,
and they're big enough.
Then also, I would talk about the ease of operation. Like the more they do their thing. Let's take for example Google.
Okay.
Google is consolidating services. You look at cloud, they're offering cloud. You look at store, they're offering sales. Like, as long as they incorporate innovation enough, they're going to be able to know their users in and out, and they're able to make as much enjoyable service as possible for them. So I think that's another benefit that could work for the general user. Such that, you see, if you have noticed, maybe if you search for an iPhone on the Facebook market, you realize the next maybe few days you will be having ads that are aligned to whatever you were selling.
True.
So you are looking for. So I think that also, the more you're using the service, the more the algorithm is learning of your interest and the likes. So this also enables you to have a better experience.
Yeah, certainly. There is that. If you just tuned in, we are live broadcasting to you from Irene in Centurion at the SID Media House. This is the Business Sense here on Adventist World Radio, SID Media. My name is Derek Virene, in conversation with Enoch Chayerera, who is talking to us this evening regarding the tech company's monopoly, if it's beneficial or detrimental. It's 20 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. Do share your thoughts, your comments with us on Plus +27 7347035 20. You were speaking earlier on, or just now rather, Enoch, regarding this idea of the ease of regulation as one of the benefits that come out of the size, the sheer size of these companies, that because they're so big, it's difficult for them to fall through the cracks, right? And they, every eye is on them, so they are forced kind of to make sure that they up their reputation and honor their agreements and so forth. What are, maybe, is there anything that can be done to limit the power of these mass companies? And I remember that I was watching some clip regarding other business sectors, and in particular, there were the particular name for it, but basically, it's properties that are used for. Not just for rental, but more for short stay rentals, right? And these platforms are kind of taking over, especially in the inner city areas, because most people want to have that kind of a rental platform. You come in, you stay for 2-3 days. In fact, if you stay for a week, I make enough money that I would have gained if I was having somebody stay for a whole month. And so it's this quick stays, and they bring in big money. And they picked up that people in the inner city were beginning to suffer based on that. And so they had to, in other countries across the world, they had to now start limiting and being a bit more stringent with the regulations so that they can limit the size of these companies and their involvement in their cities. I'm thinking, because of this, and like you're saying, there might be no end in sight of their growth, right? If they see they want a company, all they need to do is offer money and they can buy it. They see that one, they don't like how they're producing things, they can just buy the company. Mm-hmm. And basically, that's the end of the innovation they were practicing there. Is there innovation, in other words, that can be gained in terms of limiting the size? Is there any? Is it just the regulation that you spoke about, or are there other things that can be done? Maybe even from a consumer perspective, you know, we tried boycotts. I don't know if those work. You know, what can be done?
I think there's a need to strike the right balance. The policymakers maybe should be vigilant. Mm-hmm. In terms of making sure there is no abolishing of maybe what we can say is we can talk about the targeted antitrust enforcement. Mm-hmm. We're not saying the antitrust laws. We're talking about these laws that restrict the monopolistic powers of the large tech firms. So this is done maybe in a selective and measured way, right? Where the antitrust laws are preventing monopolies and excessive market concentration, right? Mm-hmm. And also they prohibit anti-competitive behaviors while protecting the consumer welfare. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying is we should promote competition. As a consumer, I would also be happy to have as much alternatives as I can.
Yes.
So that I'm able to, if I'm not satisfied with this kind of service, I would want to check on the other one until I get what's best for me, or I'll be able to get the benefits from each of the service providers, you see. And also there is a need to invest in alternative tech pathways, maybe the governments can also fund and provide support for other decentralized digital infrastructure and platforms, so that the tech landscape is diversified, and also we have viable competitors that will give also a competition to the dominant tech giants. Also in terms of policy making, I think there would also be a need to to have an adaptive and forward-looking policy, such that we recognize that the tech landscape is evolving, and we implement agile and responsive regulations.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking it's a bit of a tough one, and like again going back to your initial sentiments and statement, it might not be the best for us. But sadly, there's very limited issues, or rather limited avenues for the, especially for the consumer, to be able to do in terms of recourse, right? And then you can just either play with it or just forget about it. I mean, because I was just thinking earlier on, we were speaking about people who jumped from the WhatsApp platform and went to Telegram, that the more users somebody gets, the bigger they become. And technically, that's how dataopolies are formed, right?
and the dataopolies are actually not only affecting consumers' wallets, but they are actually going for their privacy, the autonomy,
you know,
the democracy, and the well-being.
Hey. And you know, you look at it, we were speaking about how when you think dataopolis, when you think there's massive structures, you think the West, right? The Facebook, you think of your Googles, your Amazons, and so forth. Like, and then with,
they have everything they want.
You know, and then, but we quickly forget that sometimes it's just the issue of market share. How many people do you have on your platform? For example, you were speaking about Huawei, right? When Google, or they had the fight and they separated with Android and Google, that one would think, oh, now they're going to suffer, but not really. I mean, China is a whole market on its own. I mean, Tencent, for example, hardly do we speak about Tencent, but it's a massive animal that, I mean, I was just reading a report earlier on to say, your Facebooks, your Amazons, those which we call the giants, your Apples, can only wish to become like Tencent. Right, and it's got no interest in ever penetrating the West, right? It's fine where it is, and that's the thing. I mean, you pick it up. I mean, just a couple of years back, there was this big hullabaloo between China and Hong Kong, right? And people were around the world were up in arms. China and Hong Kong, China must leave Hong Kong alone, and some of the tech giants started to weigh in on that. I remember Apple weighed in, and the backlash was like, okay, fine, you can just take away your devices. And quickly they realized, okay, maybe guys, it's between China and Hong Kong. Let them fight it out, you know, because they realized if they drop us, we're going to kind of lose out. And I think that's what I'm feeling like. The tech giants, it's bad because we think it's the West, but actually it's just a matter of how much mass do you have under you. And anybody, I feel, can be this dataopoly, right? It's just because we are looking at the smaller guys don't have that much of influence in the market. So they think, these are the good guys. Look how small they are, and they cater for the everyday person. But deep down in their hearts, perhaps they are wishing to become a Tencent, you know?
Yeah, it's true. I think everyone is just waiting for their opportunity.
Exactly.
And then they also do the thing. But then I think there's that part of maintaining competition, so that any other average person, when they feel they are being robbed or something on the other side, they are going to opt for the other option. So I think the power has to remain with the consumer of the service, such that they should remain in a position to be able to choose whatever they want, instead of let's give an example of being in a space where only this service from this provider is working.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll have to then leave it there. Thank you so much, Mr. Chayerera. Truly appreciate you. I'm going to then afford you the opportunity to perhaps share your final thoughts with the listeners on this very important subject, I think. This idea of these tech massive companies and their monopoly.
Okay, maybe I'll just say the dataopolies, they should not go unchecked. because it introduces a number of potential harms, including security risks, declining innovation, and social, moral, and political concerns. I think we didn't get a chance to talk about political concerns where the dataopolies can governments can influence them to maybe pass over people's data to them. Either they can do it voluntarily or involuntarily using maybe other policies and stuff. So I think there's need for a balance between the dataopolies and competition. There's need to establish and preserve the upside of scale, network effects, and innovation funding, also while actively mitigating the harms of reduced competition, privacy violations, and political influence.
Indeed, indeed. No, thank you so much, sir. Really appreciate your time, and may you have a good evening until we chat again next time.
Thank you so much.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.